Thank you. Take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 1. We're going to be reading out of two portions of Scripture. You can find Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 and then Luke chapter 1. We'll start in Luke chapter number 1 and then we'll go backwards back to Matthew chapter 1. So Luke chapter 1, if you found it, we're going to start reading in verse number 26. Luke chapter 1, verse number 26. And then when we go to Matthew, I'll point you to the right verses there. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 26. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, if you'll go over to Matthew chapter number 1, backwards to Matthew chapter number 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 18. Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these portions of Scripture, Lord, that shed light, give us information. Lord, add to that beautiful Christmas story. Lord, thank you for what we've already experienced. Our hearts have been helped and stirred and warmed this morning. And now, Lord, we get to, again, just gather our attention around this incredible Christmas story. Thank you for sending your son. Jesus, thank you for being willing to come. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would help this preacher as I preach this morning. Help us all, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. There is a hauntingly beautiful Christmas song that I love to hear. You don't hear it a lot, but I love to hear it this time of year. I was doing some visiting and had the local Christian radio station on. And the song came on entitled, Mary, Did You Know? And I love that song. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? That this child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? That the sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. I Am. On Wednesday nights this month, I'm preaching a series I entitled Around the Manger. The first 2 weeks, we looked at first the mother of Jesus, a young virgin by the name of Mary. And then the second week, we looked at the man who stood with her and beside her, first as her espoused one and then as her newlywed husband. We studied Mary and then we studied Joseph. As I prepared those two Bible studies, I spent a lot of time meditating, thinking on who they were and what they experienced and how gracefully and obediently they handled God's will for their life. And as I prepared those two Bible studies, it led somewhat to this morning's message. I want to preach on this subject, what Mary and Joseph knew. What Mary and Joseph knew. Well, we don't have to wonder what Mary knew. We can go to the Bible and find out what she knew. We don't have to wonder what Joseph knew because God sent a messenger to both of them and told them what they needed to know. So the focus this morning is going from those that were around the manger to the one who lay in the manger on that first Christmas night. Say, preacher, what did Mary know about her newly birthed son? What did Joseph know about this miracle boy that he held that first Christmas morning? I think if they were here, they could tell you, according to the word of God, exactly what they knew. First of all, let me say this. I think they would say this. We knew that God lay in that manger. We knew that God lay in that manger. You say, preacher, where did you get that? When the angel came to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. He was quoting Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. One of the reasons I like this song, Mary, Did You Know, is I believe like no other Christmas song. I don't think there's another Christmas song that even comes close to so strongly reminding us of the doctrine of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say something to you. Let's be reminded of this. God was born on Christmas Day. God came to dwell with mankind on Christmas Day. Emmanuel was born, which means God with us. God came to earth. Preacher, who was in that manger? Yes, it was the Son of God, but it was also God the Son. The great I Am became a man. So when I hear the words to this song, did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Folks, listen, that's biblical. Emmanuel came, God with us. They were standing here today. I think they'd answer every question that the song asked with a resounding yes. Yes, we knew that our baby was God. Preacher, how did they know that? God told them. God sent his messengers to them. God affirmed it through his word. I want to just say this. Let me remind you that you can know it too. You say, preacher, I can know that Jesus was God. I mean, no angel has come to me to tell me such a thing. No heavenly host has appeared to me in the night to proclaim such a thing. How can I know? I want to say this. You don't need an angel. You don't need a heavenly host to to know this. You have available to you what the Bible calls a more sure testimony. 2 Peter chapter 1, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. By the way, there's people that are so wicked and so bold as to tell our young people that the story of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is nothing more than a cunningly devised fable. Well, I'm going to tell you this. If they've told you that, young people, then they are lying. Because let God be true and every man a liar. And then the Bible goes on to say this. When we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also, watch this, a more sure word of prophecy whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn. And the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Folks, what is that more sure prophecy? I hold it right here in my hand. You have the word of God that tells you over and over and over again that God was born on that first Christmas night. Think about this. Can I change the song title for a moment this morning? From Mary, did you know, to Jerry, how do you know? Preacher, let's forget what Mary did or did not know for a minute. How are you so confident that that baby that lay in the manger that Christmas morning was both the Son of God and God the Son? You know why? Because I have a more sure testimony. I have a copy of God's very words in my hand. Let me tell you what it teaches me. It teaches me that the creator of the universe came down to the earth that he created to dwell with the human race. John chapter 1, he was in the world. Watch this. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1:14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 700 years before the birth of Christ, God gave Isaiah these words to pen for us. Here it is, for unto us a child is born. Listen, we're talking about, is Jesus God? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I don't care what man's opinion is on this. You can go and find 50 different religions or brands of Christianity that deny the deity of Christ, but you know what? I hold a more sure testimony, a more sure prophecy in my hand. If God says that that son that was given, that child that was born, was the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and I guarantee you that's exactly who he was. Mary, did you know? I'll answer for her. Yes, she knew. Yes, Joseph knew. The angel of the Lord appeared unto them and told them, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means is interpreted God with us. And by the way, I wonder at that. As I pondered Mary and Joseph and thought about them that night of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, folks, listen to me. I think they had some of the very normal and common emotions that come with a child being born, but I think that they had a whole boatload of very uncommon supernatural reactions to the birth of that son, because they knew when they lay that baby in a manger and looked at his face that this was not just another baby being born. You know why? Because God had come and told them. You see, Mary knew this child was not of this world. Think about that. Joseph knew this child was born from his virgin wife. They knew this child was divine. They knew he was the Mighty God. They knew that night that they were staring at the face of the Everlasting Father. They knew that God lay in the manger, and they were not the only ones to know. I want to back up their story, and I think God, sometimes when he tells you something, also bring some assurances along. And I want you to think of all of the exclamation points that God put after his visit to both Joseph and Mary. Within a few minutes, think about this, of this God child being born, the angel of the Lord appeared to a group of shepherds outside of Bethlehem and made an announcement. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Now think about that. Then as the angel finished his announcements, the sky lit up with a host of heavenly beings, all there to bear witness, all there to celebrate, all there to put an exclamation point on the announcement that was just made. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." And I can't help but wonder, as Mary and Joseph's in that stable, if they don't hear a little bit of the ruckus that's going on up into the heavens. I don't know if they did or not, but I know within a short time, the door of the stable burst open and a group of third shift shepherds tiptoed in and surrounded the manger. And can you imagine seeing them as Mary and Joseph saw them standing in wonderment? The Bible says they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which are told them by the shepherds. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And you know what? It was reaffirmed in their heart what they already knew because God had told them. But folks, sometimes, even though God's told us, isn't it good to have God reaffirm his word in our heart over and over again? By the way, it's not over. Think about this. I also know this according to the Bible. 40 days after the birth of Christ, Mary and Joseph carried this miracle child to Jerusalem. The Bible explains the purpose of that trip in Luke chapter 2, verse 22. When the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, can you picture them? I want you to understand, these are real people, real situation. Christ was actually born. These two newlyweds are carrying in a miracle child into the temple to do what the Bible says they're supposed to do with their children. Hey, parents, why don't we just do what the Bible says we're supposed to do concerning our children? Okay, stop listening to daytime TV and learning from a bunch of wicked heathens how to raise children. Okay, stop listening to podcasts of lost people giving you advice about child rearing. Get into the Word of God and just obey what the Bible says when it comes to your children. And that's what both Mary and Joseph decided that they would do. I can't help but wonder, think about this as they bring their son to the temple. By the way, listen to what happens next. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit," capital S Spirit, "into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel.'" Now listen to the reaction. "And Mary and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken by him." By the way, they knew it. But isn't it good to have it affirmed? They knew that they had something special, but 40 days and they'd fallen into a routine of life. And folks, listen to me. We can have these supernatural encounters with God and we can learn things and know things. But isn't it interesting how regular life starts to take over and then God will cause something that'll bring it all back to us? And that's what he did here. Think about that. Then right after Simeon holds that child up and blesses God for allowing his eyes to see what he calls the salvation of all mankind. Right after Simeon proclaims this God child to be a light to lighten the Gentiles and declares this baby to be the glory of all thy people Israel. Right after Simeon tells a marveling Mary, by the way, he went on, and he told her, this child is set for the fall and the rising of many in Israel. Then he goes on to say directly to Mary, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. But wait a minute, when he finishes that, all of a sudden, here comes someone else. A holy woman enters the scene. A woman by the name of Anna. This, by the way, you read a little bit about her. God gives us a lot in a little portion of scripture. We know this, she was an amazing woman. A godly woman. We're told by the word of God that she was a prophetess. A woman of great age. You say, preacher, how old was she? The Bible says that she was a widow of about 84 years. And so some commentators have set her age at 84. Others believe that that portion of scripture, the wording of it, tells us that she had been widowed for 84 years, which would have placed her somewhere around 105 years old. Now, 84 to 105, I'm not going to argue with you, but I think both of them probably could be put in the category of a woman of great age, okay? My apologies to those of you that are 84 and older, okay? But we do know these things for sure about her. We knew she was a woman who was briefly married for 7 years, and then, you know what? She was widowed. A woman who, after the death of her husband, gave herself wholly to God. A woman who had spent most of her life as a widow serving God, living in the temple. A woman who fasted off, prayed more often. A dedicated woman, a holy woman, a woman who walked with God. And we know for certain what she did that day because it's recorded, Luke chapter 2, verse 38. She coming in that instant gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Are you understanding this? Preacher, what did Mary know? What did Joseph know? They knew that the child that had been given to them was God, that he was God. But wait a minute, we're not done. We're not done. Here comes somebody else. Before they leave Bethlehem, they return from Jerusalem first to Bethlehem. Before they leave Bethlehem, before they make their way back to their permanent home of Nazareth, other visitors will come. By now, they no longer were in a stable. They'd secured temporary housing, a safer, more comfortable place for Mary to recuperate. But God the Father wasn't done reminding them that the child they had been given was God the Son. And we read this, Matthew chapter 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now think about this. And when they were coming to the house, Mary and Joseph there, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Go ahead, world. Go ahead, lost, pagan, unbelieving, atheistic Americans. Mock the birth of Jesus Christ. Mock the idea of a virgin birth. Mock the idea that God came to earth. But you're missing the point. Because he came because he loved you. And he came because he wants to save you. And he came because he could bring to mankind something we could not do for ourselves. He would come to bring salvation. See, what did Mary and Joseph know about that baby lying in the manger? Yes, they knew that God lay in that manger. But folks, let me give you the second point. they also knew that a Savior lay in that manger. Not only did God lay in that manger, but a Savior lay in that manger. When God had appeared unto Joseph, to Joseph in Matthew chapter number 1, says, let me remind you then, Joseph, her husband being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Listen, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Mary knew it also. We read in Luke chapter 1, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. By the way, that was significant. Jesus literally means Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves. And so when the name was given to Joseph, it was followed by this phrase, you call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then again, it was told Mary, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jehovah has sent someone who can save. Then again, there were those midnight visitors. We've already talked about them, who told them a story of heavenly hosts, shepherds who came to see a baby in a manger. Shepherds who were told this about the baby, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What is this about? Listen, we've talked on Wednesday nights about the people around the manger. Let's take this morning and let's remember who lay in that manger that day. Did Mary know it? Mary knew it. Come on now. Did Joseph know it? Yes, Joseph knew it. Did the shepherds know it? Yes, the shepherds knew it. Did Simeon know it? Yes, Simeon knew it. Did Anna know it? Yes, Anna knew it. Come on. Did the wise men know it? Yes, the wise men knew it. And you know what, folks? I can know it too. Not because I saw what they saw or heard what they heard, but I can know it because I can go in and put my faith and trust in the King James Holy Bible, that this is God's word. And by the way, I can choose by faith to believe it because I have a more sure testimony, a more sure witness. Think about that. Okay, preacher. How do you know that Jesus was the Savior of the world? Once again, let's forget what Mary and Joseph knew. How can I know that Jesus can save me? Because you have, let me say it again, a more sure testimony. You know, folks, God's just filled this book with the proclamation and the declaration of his desire to save us. This is truly the Christmas story. Not just that a baby was born, but that a Savior came. Not just that a baby was born, but that God came that day. And I can take you, folks, right to the Gospels, to those red letter words, and listen to the very words of Jesus Christ. Because in Luke 19:10, we find his personally stated purpose. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, I'm the Savior. He said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, we can listen to Jesus' words, John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Listen, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You know what he spent his entire ministry saying? I'm God, and I'm the Savior. Would you just believe in me? Would you just believe in me? Come on, the apostles understood this. Under scrutiny and intense persecution, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, in Acts chapter 4, said unto them, you rulers of the people of and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by which means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, Even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither, here it is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know what? Paul wrote this, one of the apostles in 2 Timothy 1 under the inspiration of God. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, who hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospels. I mean, where do you want me to stop? Literally, I could stand up and I mean this the rest of the day and read portions of scripture, both old and new, that's declaring these two great truths that we're going to leave with you this morning. God was born that night in Bethlehem, and a Savior was born that night in Bethlehem. And we rejoice that a baby was born, but let's not forget that baby grew up. And that baby paid the ultimate price for our salvation. How about Romans chapter 5? For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Here's your choice. Go through Christ, make it to heaven, ignore Christ, and face the wrath of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How can he offer that? Because he was the Savior. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, who we talk about, Jesus, shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why was he able to do that? Because that wasn't just any baby born in that Christmas night. That God was born that Christmas. A Savior was born that Christmas night. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read a few more verses. I just love reading them. Amen. Say, preacher, you're reading too much Bible. Oh, yeah. Well, let me stop and you can listen to what I have to say instead, all right? I think this might be a little more important. And you had thee quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Come on, we talked about that in Sunday school. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Wow. But then verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in therein. Well, wow. I guess I could spend the rest of the morning. It is the central theme of the Bible. Here it is. We are sinners who needed a Savior, and Jesus Christ is that Savior. That's it. That's the central theme. That's what it's all about. Yes, he came as a baby, but he did not stay a baby. He grew up to manhood, lived a sinless, perfect life. He ministered for 3 years, but in that 3 years, folks, listen, he performed such wonders that only a fool could not see that he was the Messiah, the everlasting God, the Prince of Peace, the Lamb sent to die, the Holy One, the Just One, the Savior of the world. Mary, that baby did grow up to walk on water. He did grow up to heal the leper and raise the dead. By his touch, the blind were made to see, and by his words, the lame were made to walk. He turned water into grape juice and a boy's lunch into a multitude's feast. In his brief 3 years, 3 years of ministry, his brief 3 years of ministry, he became the greatest physician who ever lived, the greatest teacher who ever taught, the greatest preacher who ever preached, the greatest miracle worker who ever lived, the greatest discipler, the greatest prayer warrior, the most courageous rebuker, and the mightiest debater. But the greatest thing that he did was to be willing to become a sacrifice for the sins of each and every one of us that sit in this room. And by the way, we can push that outside the walls of this building and say, even unto the uttermost parts of the world. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Mary, did you know this? You know what she'd look down from heaven and say? Yeah, yes, I knew that. I was told it. Joseph, did you know this? Yes. Yes, I knew this. And I was told it. Mary, did you choose to believe it? Yes. I believed it. Joseph, did you believe? I believed it. Now, let me ask you one more question. This is a fair question, an appropriate question for where we're at in the message. Do you know Jesus, the Son of God, as your personal Savior? I know you know about the story, but do you really believe the story? I know you know about it here, but have you accepted Him here as your personal Savior? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful Christmas season. We tap the brakes a little and we slow down life. And we as God's children, your children, make a special effort not to just caught up in all of the craziness that the world wants to produce. They try to create chaos during Christmas. Running and going and festivities and gifts and all that the world has done. In hopes, the devil, I think, in hopes that nobody will slow down enough to figure out what this whole thing's really about. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming. God, thank you for the Bible. We don't have to wonder about these things. We can line up right beside Mary and Joseph this morning and say, God was born on Christmas Day. A Savior was born on Christmas Day. I know it because God's Word says it.